Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Corp to QFY22 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Avneet Anand of Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vikram. Good morning, everyone. Let me introduce the management that we have today from Welspun Corp. We have Mr. Vipul Mehta, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, CFO, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO and Head Strategy at Welspun Group. We will have an opening remark from the management. So over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. First and foremost, just to make a small correction, my name is Vipul Mathur and not Mr. Vipul Mehta. I hope you should have taken a little, should have been a little more diligent about this, but nevertheless, good morning, friends. It is welcome to all of you for this Q2 FY22 conference call. It's a great pleasure to have you today morning with us. First and foremost, just to start, let me give my opening remarks, and I would like you to take, I would like to take you through the, some of the operational and the financial performance of the company during this quarter ended 30th September. The total income from our operation was 1,306 crore rupees, which was 12.8% higher on YoY basis. We had an EBITDA of 195 crore rupees and a PAT of rupees 85 crore. Our sales volume for this quarter was 180,000 metric ton. At this point of time, we have a current order, unexecuted order book of almost 580,000 tons and an active bid book of close to 1.4 million tons. We have a very strong net cash position of 1,000+ crore rupees. From an operational performance, I just wanted to let you know that from our India operation, out of that 180,000 tons what we executed, the sales what we have achieved, our India operations was 110,000 tons. From our US operation, it was 32,000 tons. And from our Saudi operation, it was close to 38,000 tons. I'm sure, you know, you would like to have a little brief understanding, our understanding of the markets. Just let me give you a little overview as to where we see the market seems to be moving. As you know, we are seeing a significant surge in the energy prices. The oil prices have climbed up to a multi-layer high as OPEC Plus said it would stick to the existing pact for gradual increase in oil supply. Some market participants have expected a higher increase in supply, but that didn't happen. Even the natural gas prices have soared over the last few months, especially in Europe. Even in US, if you see the gas prices around in excess of $6 per MMBTU, and in Europe is more than $30-$35 per MMBTU. This is a very historic high. So we are seeing a huge surge in the energy pricing globally. The reason for that was that the global energy demand for last year when the economies went into a lockdown to fight the pandemic. As the situation improved this year, especially in the Asian economies, the demand shot up and the energy producers struggled to meet the growing demand, pushing up the prices. In the near term, a repeat of cold winter in the northern hemisphere could further propel the energy prices further up. The current level of high prices is a big positive for us, as it is expected to drive global spending for oil and gas pipeline related infrastructure projects in the medium term. However, the commodity pricing, including the steel pricing, continues to be a cause of concern. The steep price increase in the prices has created disruptions in the supply chain as project costs have gone up, have escalated significantly. A further flare up in the steel price is still a key risk. If we specifically talk about India, the outlook of the oil and gas sector in India continues to be a bright spot. India's oil consumption is estimated to rise from 4.8 million barrels per day in 2019 to 7.2 million barrels per day in 2030 and then to 9.2 million barrels per day in 2050. Under this stated policy scenario, the global oil demand will peak in 2030 at 103 million barrels per day and will remain unchanged till 2050. This projection yet again shows that the certainty of that oil is going to be there is going to play a major role in the Indian economy, at least over for the next three decades. The Indian natural gas demand is also projected to double from is also expected to double from 64 BCM to 133 BCM. While our demand will grow, will double, but as against the global demand has been rising at a rate of 12%. Indian refining capacity is also set to expand by 30% to 6.9 million barrels per day by 2030, while the global capacity is expected to increase only by 3%. With the country aiming to increase the share of the gas in the energy market to 15% by 2030 from the current level of 6%, 15,000 odd kilometers pipeline are under various stages of construction at this point in time. Taken together with the 17,000 kilometers of existing pipeline, this will create a, you know, a huge national gas grid in the country. The major impetus of the gas demand will also be through the city gas distribution system. The oil and gas regulator, PNGRB, in September 2021 invited bids for giving out city gas retailing license in 65 geographical areas in the 11th city gas in the 11th round of bidding. Presently, there are 228 geographical areas authorized by PNGRB in 27 states and union territories, covering approximately 53% of the country's geographical area and 70% of its population. In the last CGD bidding round, that is in the 10th round of bidding, 50 geographical areas were authorized for development of CGD network. So in the 10th round, there were 50 areas, and in the 11th round, there have been 65 areas which have now been awarded. On the water side of it, the demand for spiral pipes in the water segment has been impacted as the state governments were battling the pandemic. Moreover, a steep increase in the raw material price has also adversely impacted, which led to delays in the project implementation. However, we are now seeing a distant pickup in the orders as the number of COVID-19 cases are declining across the country. There is also a recognition among all industry players that the steel price will continue to be higher for the foreseeable future, and the project cost will have to be revised upward. So there is a paradigm shift which has happened, and the industry has slowly and gradually in the whole supply chain mechanism have started understanding that. We are confident that we will see a steady improvement in demand driven by irrigation and drinking water supply projects across various states. We are also in discussion for several orders in the export market, which has seen an improvement in prospects. During this quarter, we received a very significant and a prestigious export order for a deep offshore pipeline project in Gulf of Mexico, USA, which was approximately for 60,000 tons. This exhibits an overall improvement in the business sentiments, our strong connect, their confidence in our technical excellence, and our execution capabilities. As regards US, in US, the natural gas spot price at Henry Hub averaged around $5.16 per MMBTU, which was up against $4, and up from an average of 3.25. So historically, it has been floating around 3.25. It went to $4, and now it, you know, the average was 5.16, and it, when we look at the last week, it was in excess of $6 per MMBTU. So that is a very clear reflection that, you know, how the energy prices in the U.S. seems to be going up. The rising price in the recent month reflects U.S. natural gas inventory levels that are below the 5-year average and continued demand for natural gas for power generation used at a relatively high price. However, there is still a caution among midstream companies about regulatory issues and environmental opposition. Nonetheless, at the current level of high oil and gas prices, we are confident of a revival in the medium term and are already seeing inquiries coming up in us for to work on. If you will recollect, in the last quarter call, we mentioned that there has been quite a bit slowdown in the U.S. market, but I am very happy to report that, you know, we have started seeing a little uptick into the market. We have started seeing inquiries coming back on the ground. Right now, at this point in time, we are, you know, there are these inquiries which are coming up for small diameter HFIW pipeline, but that is the general trend they follow. First, you will see inquiries coming back for small diameter pipelines and then followed by the large diameter pipelines. We will talk a little more during our Q&A section about this. As regards Saudi Arabia, we have a confirmed order book of almost 222,000 tons, the steel for which is fully secured. At these level of oil price, we are optimistic and seeing, you know, at oil price, we are optimistic and seeing that Saudi Aramco will also come back strongly in the market in terms of finalizing few projects. We, being an LTA holder, are expecting to receive significant portion of these line pipe orders. I also just want to give you an update with respect to our proposed IPO. The capital market, the CMA, which is the regulatory authority responsible for capital markets in Saudi Arabia, has approved our IPO offering. We are intending to divest 30% of our 30% of our total share capital. The divestment of the shares will be done by the JV partners in proportion to their share holding. WCL currently holds 50.01% in the JV through its overseas subsidiary. Post the proposed listing, WCL shareholding will not fall below 35% in the JV and it will continue to be the largest shareholder. The CMA's approval of the application shall be valid for 6 months on the CMA board resolution date. Considering the buoyant market conditions, the EPIC board, which is the Saudi Arabian board, has given the consent to go ahead on the proposed IPO, and we are hopeful that it should have its listing sometime in the end of Q3 or early Q4. I would also like to update you on the few activities on the business front. Number one, the corporate tax rate. The company has fully utilized existing tax credits in FY21 and has switched to a new corporate tax rate of 25.17% in FY22 from existing 34.94%, both including surcharges in India. Dividend. During Q2 FY22, the company paid a dividend of ₹130 crores. The dividend amount declared per share for FY21 was for 100% of face value of ₹5 per share. Third, proposed acquisition of steel business of WSL by WCL through a scheme of arrangement. The board of directors of the company at its meeting held on 28 June decided to propose the scheme of arrangement between Welspun Steel Limited and the company for transfer of WSL steel division to the company, with appointed date as 1st April 2021, subject to the regulatory and other approvals. The transaction is in line with our business growth and diversification strategy to improve earning predictability and enhance value creation for all stakeholders. As a part, its steel division, WSL, also holds 50% share in Welspun Specialty Steel Solutions Limited. The Honorable NCLT Ahmedabad bench wide its order dated 4th October 2021, which was received by company on 7th October, has given directions for convening a meeting of the equity shareholders, the secured creditors, and unsecured creditors of the company for obtaining their consent of the scheme of arrangement between WSL and WCL. The few rationals, you know, I understand there were, you know, quite a few would like to know the rationals behind it. This transaction has several benefits for WCL, as we believe that it will bring in earning predictability, stronger revenue, and improve competitiveness with business diversification. A strong presence across market segments provide access to new market and product offering. Greater economies of scale will provide a longer and a stronger base for potential future growth. Synergies, especially in raw material sourcing, common infrastructure, technical manpower, etc., would be extremely useful and can be leveraged, and significant value creation for all the stakeholders. As we have informed earlier, a thorough due diligence was being done and the valuation was being done by two independent registered valuers, RBSA and Rusty R. Desai. A fairness opinion was taken by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. A finance due diligence was done by Ernst & Young and legal due diligence was done by ELP. As regards the consideration, for every 100 equity shares of face value of Rs. 10, held in WSL, shareholders of WSL will receive 81.6% cumulative redeemable preference share of face value of Rs. 10 of WCL, redeemable only after 18 months from issuance date of it and for a total consideration of 362 crore rupees. So once this deal is consummated, you know, this preference shares will only get triggered only after 18 months. I would also like to make some important points on this particular transaction. As we have seen, there's a fundamental shift in the steel market, and we believe that there's a sustained, strong commodity cycle. We are seeing that commodities are at their peak, and this cycle is going to stay there. The TMT bars are extensively used in the construction industry, both in projects and by direct consumers. This will enable WCL to diversify its portfolio in the B2C segment as well. WSSL is listed on the BSE with a market capitalization of almost 750 crore rupees. The stainless steel pipe business is technology intensive with high entry barriers and approvals required from process licensors and EPC. Consequently, the SS pipe companies command a value premium. We have seen that in the industry, in the peer group, what type of premium they are enjoying. There has been a steady increase in the SS pipe sales. WSSL has continued its journey towards gaining approval. Just to reflect, the sales volume for SS pipe divisions in FY21 was 9. They sold almost 2,000 tons of pipe versus 600 tons of pipe in the last year in FY20. So that has been the growth. From 600 tons in FY20, they were able to gain a market share of almost 2,000 tons in FY21. Even in FY22, as we are progressing, they are showing a very steady performance. Post-merger and stabilization, both these entities will bring predictability and higher revenue potential to WCL, which is the primary intent of this acquisition. Fourth, amendment to object clause. The company continues to evaluate suitable opportunities for both organic and inorganic expansion, diversifications, which have synergies with its business. It is important that the company continues to expand and diversify its business product offering for growth, predictability, and enhanced earnings. As a prudent practice, detailed due diligence will be exercised with a clear oversight from the board. Since the company has a judicious capital allocation policy, every proposal has to first meet an internal threshold for ROI and profitability before being considered for acceptance. Update on the DI project. As I apprised earlier, given the industry prospects and the synergies with our existing business, we are setting up a greenfield facility at Anjar to enter the DI pipe business. The project is absolutely on track and expected to be commissioned by March 2022. There is a big focus on creating water supply infrastructure through various government schemes. Considering the expected growth and budgetary allocation by Government of India under Jal Jeevan Mission, both for urban and rural now, there is expected to be a huge demand for DI pipes in this industry. ESG. We continue to embed ESG in each and every aspect of our organization and are committed to be carbon neutral in our pipe business by 2040. We are undertaking a project in Anjar for the installation of solar panels and are also undertaking several energy efficiency projects, which include replacement of conventional lights with LED lights, a centralized compressed air network, variable frequency drive for our compressors, water and waste reduction measures, and rainwater harvesting. These are a few of the activities which have already started, and we have set about a very clear roadmap and goals to achieve these targets. To further strengthen our commitment to achieve net zero carbon emission, we have signed an MOU with BP India Private Limited on 18th October 2021. The scope of this MOU is to jointly explore carbon emission mitigation and reduction opportunities in Welspun Corp, energy, logistics, mobility, and waste management activities. ESG is a strategic priority with goals linked with executive remuneration. We have further strengthened our governance structure this quarter and have taken many initiatives like ESG into our internal audit framework, formalizing key governance roles, expanding the scope of stakeholder relation committee to include all stakeholders. Currently, it covers only shareholders, a revised fraud prevention policy and plan approved by the board, having a disciplinary action matrix in place. This is just to highlight that the ESG is the center of all our activities at this point in time, and it will get a lot of traction in times to come as well. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks. We'll be happy to take any questions from all the members who have joined this call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, participants may press star followed by one on their touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Vikas Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
Yeah. So first of all, congratulations on steady performance despite the headwinds, sir. Sir, my question pertains to our bid book. If I'm not incorrect, then our bid book used to be roughly around close to 3 million tons. So it has come down significantly without our order book increasing in a large manner. So has those projects had been awarded and we missed out on those opportunities, or the projects have been shelved? So if you could just give us some idea about it.
Because our bid book, you rightly said, used to be close to 2.5 to 3 million tons. Right at this point in time, it has come down to 1.4 million tons. We have seen, in some markets, especially in the South American market, there was a significant order potentials which were anticipated. However, because of the elections and being a pandemic in a very strong manner is still persisting out there, there has been a slippage in terms of awarding those particular projects. And to that extent, largely the bid book has the shrinkage. What you are seeing in this bid book is largely because of that.
Understood, sir. So, sir, the second question related to this only. If I exclude Saudi, then India plus US would have somewhere, overall orders would have somewhere around very little, roughly around 350 KT odd. So, that gives, with the bid book and our post-winning rate, our visibility is just for quite low at this point of time. So, just wanted to understand that what is our thought process in terms of our earning visibility now going forward?
So, if you let's dissect this issue into two, you rightly mentioned that at India at this point of time, our active, our order book is close to 350,000 tons, right? With this 350,000 tons, let's say, we have three assets in India, which is a spiral asset, which is a longitudinal asset, and an ERW asset, right? Now, our longitudinal asset is completely booked for next 12 months' time. Even it could be more. Because with the new order which has come from the Gulf of Mexico out of US, with that our plants are completely booked for next 12 months' time. For on the ERW side, there is a significant order book at this point of time, and I am sure that, for this quarter and the next quarter, we have a clear visibility and the order book in hand. It is only on the spiral side of the business, which is purely domesticated and in water sector, that we have just started seeing an uptick in the business cycle. As I said earlier, that business on the spiral side of it was largely impacted by the states not buying those, not finalizing the projects because of the fund constraint what they were having, because as they were fighting the pandemic. But now we are seeing, we are seeing in the Madhya Pradesh, we are seeing in Karnataka, we are even seeing in Gujarat, the spending coming back on the track. And it has been a development only of the last two or three weeks, and I believe that this will further build upon that. So we will see a higher capacity utilization even for our spiral business in times to come, and which will consequently improve our bid book as well.
Understood. Please continue, sir. Hello?
Yeah.
So just one question on our cash of roughly about 1,000 crores. This is before any payment on the two acquisitions which we are supposed to do, right? Because a part of it was the cash payment also, if I remember correctly.
No, there is no cash payment. There is no upfront cash payment.
So the entire transactions of adding the steel business does not require any cash payment even upfront or with the completion of this project?
There is no upfront cash payment, for the transactions, what has been done for the steel. As I said, all the payments have to be done after 18 months, once the merger is completed. And the only cash payments which will happen, or only investment which will happen, is basically with respect to the TMT project, which we are putting up. So other than that, there is no other cash payments which are happening.
Understood. And just one last question, if I can pitch in. So Saudi, we are looking for a 30 million ton efforts of money in terms of our dilution. So just wanted to understand this timing. So basically, last year we were doing pretty good in Saudi, and this year, last couple of quarters, our performance has been weak. So in terms of valuation, since this approval is valid for only 6 months, so are we looking for a time this with the new orders of Saudi Arabia coming in, or as right now you think that the valuation which you are looking for would be easily attainable and you would go as soon as possible?
So because, you know, in the last one or two quarters, yes, the performance has been really muted because the projects which were to get finalized, you know, they took some time to get finalized. Now, if you see, we have an order book of almost 225,000 tons, which is more or less an order book which will take us through for the whole next 12 months, type, number one. More importantly is the pipeline of the orders. You know, there are a couple of projects, at least there are three or four projects which are there upon the table. In one of the projects, in any case, we have been L1, and those awards will happen in times to come. Over and above, there are three or four projects, big projects, which are in the pipeline. I think so the future visibility of projects in Saudi Arabia stands very, very strong. That's one. And also in terms of the market is also extremely buoyant at this point in time. So what we are seeing, when our order book is sound, our visibility for the order book is looking very robust. The market fundamentals, the capital market fundamentals are equally sound at this point of time. I think so there, we feel it is an appropriate time to go and hit the market for with respect to our IPO listing. From a timeline perspective, as I said, we are looking at end of Q3. Or early Q4. That's the timeline we have set to ourselves.
Understood. And sir, is there any one-off in U.S. operation? Because EBITDA per ton at $370 seems to be pretty high.
So, U.S., this is Percy here. So, in U.S. operations, of course, we had an overflow from the previous quarter. So, we have been able to execute certain volumes which were in the inventory at the end of the previous quarter. We have certain arrangements with the customers where we are having certain storage charges also being recovered. So there is no one-off item as such, and the EBITDA that is coming up is from the operations only. But as you are aware, we don't have any further right now in the order book. So
yes.
So going forward, of course, it's we'll have to wait and watch as to how the further volumes will come up.
So what would be the quarterly fixed cost there? At this point of time, I know that you have cut down your cost significantly there, but if you just give us, because next 6 months we won't have any order in US, so that would be a hit on the consolidated numbers.
I think so it should be closer around $2 million, $2.5 million
per quarter.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you for taking my questions and all the best for future, sir.
Thanks, Vikas.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone now. We have next question from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. Firstly, on our DI pipes business, if you can just share how much have we spent till date in that project out of 1550 crores? And how do you see the cash outgo for the remaining year, and how much will spill over to FY23?
So at this point in time, I think so from a capital expenditure point of view, we would have spent close to 70% of our capex would have already been spent at this point in time. We are, as you know, we are in the last phase of execution of this particular project in the last 3-4 months time at this point in time. So. That would happen, but there would be a carry forward of that expenditure even in the next year. So from a cash flow perspective, Percy, would that be a right statement to make?
So we have been investing into the capital expenditure for this greenfield project, and we're pretty much on track. So, but so far the investments, the actual cash outflow would be closer to about 600 to 700 crores.
Okay, so technically we invested something around 200 to 300 crores in last quarter itself, and still our cash balance has increased sequentially by close to 170 crore, and even after the payment of dividend. So we saw substantial reduction in working capital partly because, you know, our US operations have scaled down. So is that the right way to put it?
That's right. So in the current quarter, there are 2-3 things major that have happened. So the free cash flow generation has been very strong in the current quarter, as we have put it out in our business update document also. The outflow side, there was a dividend payout of 130 crores that has happened in the second quarter. And secondly, of course, the investment that we are doing in the DI project.
Got it. And so what will be the total numbers for FY22 in terms of CAPEX, both the maintenance part plus the DI project on a consolidated basis, India plus US?
Maintenance CAPEX is very minimal. So we usually spend in a year 30-40 crores of maintenance CAPEX consolidated basis. The DI Greenfield project is the main project that we are executing. And I think, as you know, including the soft cost, it's coming up to close to about 1,800 to 2,000 crores. So, and we are almost close to 600 plus is what we have already spent. So the balance amount will be getting spent over the next few months.
Sorry to hop on this, but if you can just share some indicative number, how much will go next year for our modeling purpose, that would be really helpful.
So as I said, the total project cost DI is about 1,800 crores, and so far we've already spent about 650 crores. So the balance will be getting spent over the next few months, up to March 22.
But we would like to drop it.
And of course, we'll be having project term loans coming from the banks. So that will be used to finance the remaining capex.
Got it. And second question is, sir, we are in the midst of a DI capex, plus we acquired the steel business and doing some capex over there. At the same time, there's a amendment that you've made in the Articles of Association. So can you just elaborate on this strategy? Because we, in which ways, are focusing on two big projects for us. At the same time, we plan to enter into new businesses. So if you can just elaborate on this strategy, that should be really helpful. Thanks.
Nirav, our focus continues to be to incubate these new businesses, the one which we are, one which is the DI business, the other one which is the WSL business as and when it comes to us, and the WSSL business as and when it comes, you know, the scheme of amalgamation or arrangement gets consummated. So that would be our primary focus. Having said that, you know, we still have, you know, the country currently is into such a, you know, in such a state where you have so many opportunities which are coming up on the table at this point in time. And it's an unprecedented situation we are seeing. So at any point of time, we keep on evaluating a lot of opportunities, number one. And not that, you know, we are jumping on those opportunities, but we are very watchful and mindful of any such opportunities which may come and add value, you know, which can create value to our shareholders. So in order just to facilitate that process, in order to be ready that tomorrow, if there is any opportunity which is up on the table, we are geared up to utilize it. Of course, subject to all due diligence and regulatory approval, we keep on amending our update clauses to keep our scope as wider as possible. Because these are regulatory matters, you know, and they take their own time. And as and when we keep on evaluating opportunity, we just keep ourselves being prepared for that.
Got it. So just to confirm, I mean, these will largely be through inorganic routes.
They would mostly be. If at all anything will, at this point of time, we will be looking at, it will only be through an organic route.
Got it, sir. Great. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, just a small understanding, sir. This Welspun Specialty Solution will remain a separate entity going forward also.
It will. It is a listed entity. It will remain separate, yeah.
Okay. And what kind of rationalization or cost capex are we doing in that segment? Because you have spoken about this being a niche segment of seamless pipes and tubes, and the margins being relatively much higher than the commoditized product. So what is our roadmap for this company going forward? So what is the scale and size currently it is, and what are we aiming, say, 2 to 3 years down the line?
So if you look at this company has already invested a lot of capex in earlier. You know, it's a very, all the major capex which was supposed to be done was already done. So there is nothing, any significant capex now which is going to come up on the table, you know, when the scheme of arrangement gets consummated, first and foremost. Secondly, what our intention, that business has, you know, that company has three lines of business. One is the steel melting shop, other is the rolling shop, and third is the pipe making shop, all seamless. So we started, they are currently focusing a lot on the pipe, their pipe division. And if you see in the pipe division in the last 12 months, you know, there has been a significant jump which has happened into their acceptance into the international and the global, in the domestic market. From 600 tons of supplies in 20, they have now almost logging something like close to 2,000 tons in the last financial year, which means the acceptance rate and the product quality is very well accepted into the both domestic and the international market. So there is not going to be any significant capex, number one. And looking at the traction, what is going to happen, you know, what we are seeing in the pipe division at this point of time, you know, we whatever minimal capex which we have to do for some balancing of equipment or something like that would only be required to be done. But I don't expect anything significant which is going to happen on that front. On top of it, we are also seeing the demand for stainless steel billets, which is the raw material for this particular thing. So now today they have a beautiful facility in place. There is no capex which is required to operate that facility. I think so. Moving forward, that is something which we already they have already started on a trial basis, and I think so. The results have been the first results which have come up are extremely encouraging. So all in all, what we are looking is to operate the SS billet making facility, the rolling mill, and the pipe mill. And we do not foresee any significant capex which is coming up. It could only be a matter of a little bit of a cash flow support which will be extended.
On the revenue front of what this entity WSSL, as mentioned in your release, they had revenue of 93 crore and a negative EBITDA number of 19 crore for FY21. So with current year's volume ramp up and the fixed cost absorption and the order booking in hand, critical mass size for this company that we are eyeing, sir?
See, typically on the pipe side of it, I think so what they can definitely do is close to 10,000 tons of pipe on a year-on-year basis. That is the potential of that particular company. They can do that, number one. On the steel rolling side of it, they can potentially do close to 50 to 60,000 tons of SS rolling on a year-on-year basis. I think so. That is what my belief is that is what they're consideration to ramp up in the very first 2 or 3 years of period when they will incubate this business. That's the current thought process which is going on. While the scales can be different, you know, as the market improves, as everything settles down here, it can be further scaled up. But I think so. From a phase one perspective, this is what we are looking at, and once these things happen over the period of next 1 to 3 years time, you will see a tremendous amount of earning coming out of this particular company, as you would have seen any peer company doing the same.
And sir, if we go for a likewise comparison, what it should be for Western specialty, do we have any listed space, any likewise comparison?
You have that, you know. I think so. There are peers in the industry. You know, they are publicly listed. I think so. It is easy for you to compare. It is unfair on my part to make a comparison on a call on this call.
Right, sir. Last 2 points, sir. How are the cash accruals will be utilized from the Saudi offering? What would be the end use of the same, and what would be the cash? How much will be the cash realization?
So we are already, right now the bankers, the merchant bankers are working on the valuation, and we will come to know exactly what type of valuation we are going to get in our IPO. But I think so they should be significant. That's what our expectation being. But having said that, I think so, you know, the large question on the table is about the cash utilization. As I said that, you know, first and foremost, it has been our policy to use this cash very judiciously, number one. You know, any investment which we are going to do, we are going to do with a very, very proper due diligence. And as I said, you know, there are certain inorganic activities which we are always keep on looking. So that the basic purpose of that cash would either to scale up the business, bring in inorganic activities into the fold, which can further bring predictability and earning potential to the Wilson Corp. And also a portion of that would also be addressed to the shareholders.
The last 2 points. Firstly, sir, you have spoken that the Saudi operations are going to perform much better going forward. That depends because of the business environment in that segment. Correct me there. And for India, we are underutilizing our SO capacity because of the delay in the order release from the state government. These are correct. Understanding?
You are right. Just to draw a comparison, if you see the performance of Saudi the last year, they did close to 150,000 tons of production. Right now, they already have an order book of more than 225,000 tons, and they also have order visible. They are, you know, they are lowest bidder in one of the major projects, and you know, also the pipeline of the project looks robust. So there is a turnaround. There is a change which has happened. Saudi went down to a little slowdown process in the last 12 months, and which was very evident. But I think so. They seem to be coming back on track. And in India also, as I mentioned, that India also, while our spiral capacity is not completely utilized or utilized to the extent it should have been, but we are now seeing in the last two to three weeks, I am seeing a significant amount of traction which is happening. We have seen upticking of order, almost a good amount of 40,000 to 50,000 tons of order book has got finalized in the last 2 or 3 weeks itself. My marketing, you know, our business development and sales team are very actively pursuing some more leads, and I'm sure that this business will also ramp up.
And so there was one M&A activity that happened, not exactly M&A, but there was some agreement between one of your competitors and a company that is in CDR, IBC, Satwana Ispat. So, have we as management looked at the facility, because what we understood was a long pending one with an entire set ready for DI pipe manufacturing with a plug-in facility. So have we looked at to that aspect of the Satwana Ispat also, and that didn't work for us since we are moving into the DI pipe? Yes, sir.
Saket, we, as I said, at any point of time, we are very watchful, mindful of many activities which keeps on opportunities which keeps on coming upon the table. So we keep on evaluating quite a few opportunities. You know, this was also one of the opportunities which had come up on our table. We have evaluated it at great length and detail. But it is like a normal process which we follow, and I believe that that asset is now already awarded and finalized or something. Some conclusive actions have already been taken. But yes, having said that, did we look at it? The answer is yes, and it is a part of our normal due diligence process which we do.
Right. I'll come in the queue, sir, and thank you for all the elaborate answers, sir. Best of luck to the team, sir, and greetings and happy Diwali to the entire Western, sir.
Thank you, Saket. Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Same to you guys.
Yes.
Thank you. To ask a question, participants may press star 1. We have next question from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning to the team, and excellent set of numbers considering the challenging environment. So, few questions. If you can break the order book into plant-wise, I think you gave Saudi, but what is the India and US order book, and break it up into ERW also?
So, good morning, Bhavin. As I said, that right now we have an order book of close to 580,000 tons, and in which at India level it is close to 350,000 tons. At Little Rock level, it is low. It is extremely low at 5,000 to 6,000 tons. And at Saudi level, it is around 225,000 tons. So this is broadly the breakup of the order book between the geographies. And if we see that, you know, what is between the product out of let us say in the US, the entire 5,000 or 6,000 tons is all about ERW pipes, right? In Saudi, whatever 222,000 tons we have is all about spiral pipes. But the 350,000 tons what we have in India is about, we have almost close to 180,000 tons of, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, in India we have close to 180,000 tons of longitudinal pipes, and almost close to 150,000 tons of spiral pipes, and almost 18,000 tons of ERW pipes. So that is the breakup in India. That is the breakup of 350,000 tons of order book in India.
Sure. And sir, you mentioned about winning 60,000 tons in the quarter from Gulf of Mexico. So that you bid it from the India book, right? It would have been better from US?
No. This is a deep offshore pipeline project, Gavin. It is a repetition of a Gulf of Mexico pipeline, which is the deepest offshore pipeline in the world. It is almost similar to this pipeline. So this has to be a mandatory longitudinal pipe, and that is how it is getting service.
This is an ELSO, so that's the reason. Okay.
Yeah, this is ELSO pipe.
Okay, this is ELSO. Okay.
And just to let you know that this business also came to Welspun on nomination basis. That reflects that what confidence at Welspun we still enjoy in the Gulf of Mexico offshore market in the United States of America.
Sure. So the U.S. Legacy order book, which we used to book in last 2-3 quarters, is almost over right now. This is the normal 5-6,000 ERW order which we'll produce and sell, right?
That's very correct. This is a confirmed order what we have at this point in time. This will get executed during the fourth quarter of the financial year.
And you mentioned that the U.S. fixed cost is $2 to $2.5 million per quarter. And what's the storage income which we generate per quarter or per month basis of the pipes we have stored at our facility?
It's close to, my memory helps me correctly, it's close to $1 million a year.
Storage income is $1 million a year. Okay.
Half a million, I stand corrected, it is $500,000 a quarter, So $2 million
a year. Okay.
So
now since the legacy high margin order, so second half would be largely break even in US unless we get very big orders. There would be no cash burn in US operations, right?
Yeah, there would not be a significant cash burn. Just to make it clear, I don't think so it is going to drag our numbers down. The earnings are at a console level down. Rather, it will contribute to some extent because in the first and the second quarters, we have a significant earnings around that. I think so in the third and fourth quarter, the cash burn rate, we have seen to it that it is very, very minimal. And then on top of it, the rental incomes and everything is coming out. So we are very focused in terms of cost conservation out there at the US thing. At the end of the year, I don't think so that it is going to drag us down. But more importantly, what is that the business seems to be, the business sentiment seems to be improving. I think so that was something which was missing, that confidence was missing over the first and the second quarter. I think so, and now that feeling has started coming in that there is a little uptick of the business which is looking on the table. So I think so that is what is exciting, and that is what our intent is to pursue more further and swell our order book. So how can we improve our order book?
And India 350K would be executed over next 2-3 quarters, right?
It would be.
Okay. And regarding the DI pipe project, since that's a big one and the momentum also is very strong. So I understand correctly, first you will start the mini blast furnace, stabilize it, and then you will start the DI pipeline. So you have indicated March 22. So we should take that March 22 commissioning as first hot metal firing, and 3-4 months down the line, you will start rolling DI pipe?
It could be in parallel. Because the DI project, though it's an independent project, it is also at the same speed. I think so. The commissioning of both the projects, which is the hot metal as well as the DI, should be around the same time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah. And best of luck.
Thanks, Bhavin.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Rishikesh Oja from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good morning. So my first question is regarding our EBITDA per ton. So can you please guide on what EBITDA per ton we can achieve in coming, going ahead?
EBITDA per ton, Mr. Oja, as you know, it's a factor of multiple conditions. Number one, the steel pricing, the geography, and all that stuff. So, generally, we have always, while we have never committed ourselves, but if you look at it, even in Q2, our EBITDA per ton has been close to $150. Even if you look at it from an H1 perspective, our blended EBITDA has been close to $150. So I think so we have been able to maintain consistency around $150. I would expect that it should go up, but it's a factor of various conditions around it. And but such levels to maintain, possible. Can it be improved? Is to be seen.
Okay. And my second question is, sir, our sales in 1,000 metric tons, it's around 142, which is a bit lower than what we were used to do. So when can we again, do around 180, 200 kind of levels?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question, please.
Sir, our 142 sales, mm-hmm. 142 KMT sales, right. Ex-Saudi, I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is quite low comparing, what we were doing a few quarters ago.
Okay, that's
so
very
correct. What, when can we again reach that 180, 200 kind of levels?
See, one of the key factor here is that the U.S. performance, U.S. has not been performing there, right? The business in U.S. has been absolutely low. So that is getting reflected, clearly getting reflected in our sales volume. I am sure that the more sooner the sales, the business in U.S. ramp ups, right? And so there are two factors to that. The business in U.S. has to ramp up, and which we are extremely hopeful that it is now, it's a matter of time. We are seeing visibility coming around that, so that could happen. Number two, the domestic buying, the Aspire, the water sector has to come back, and that is also what we are seeing that has started coming back. So these two factors, on both of which we are seeing a positive outcome at this point in time, I think so that should improve our sales volume.
But sir, can you just indicate whether we can do this can happen as soon as next quarter, or whether it will take next two quarters or something like that?
It's quite a bit of an assumption in prediction. I don't think so that we should get into that. I think so our focus should remain that whatever opportunities are there, they should be encashed upon, and that is what our focus would be.
Okay. No problem, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please, Mr. Saket Kapoor, your line is unmuted.
Sir, if you take the P&L item, we found that for this quarter, the employee cost has gone down by around 15-16 crore. And if we compare last year, September, it is down by 17 crore. So is it because of this utilization levels part only playing out, or if you could explain that?
So as I said, that our operations in U.S. were significantly scaled down to conserve the cost. And that is where a max, quite a bit of a rationalization and optimization has happened, both in terms of manpower, and that is getting clearly reflected into the cost side of it.
Okay. So when we look at your the entire capacity of ELSO domestically and international, if we take the current order booking, can you give some color on how the utilization levels for ELSO and ERW for Indian operations are looking as per the confirmed orders which we have? What should be the utilization levels for this for H2? Since for the US, you have already said that it is going to be break even at the best.
See, US capacity utilization is almost negligible, because rolling 5,000 to 6,000 tons in a quarter is not something adds up to any utilization level whatsoever. A matter of time, as I said, the business in US is bound to bounce back, and we are seeing all the tractions coming around that. In terms of India, if you look at it, I think so our capacity utilization level for our longitudinal will be close to 75-80%. With respect to our with our ERW plant, is also going to be around that. But it is only the challenge is currently hovering around the spiral plant, and we are hoping and expecting that the water business bounce back, which, as I have said again, that we are seeing some resurgence happening around. So that capacity utilization should also go up now.
What is the expected capacity for the next half for ESO facilities? I think so, sir, the Madhya Pradesh government and the government of Uttar Pradesh has come up with a lot of projects for this Jal Sinal and schemes. So our order book contain any of these orders which have been released from the state government of Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh?
So Nal Se Jal scheme is not for the large diameter spiral pipe. That is primarily driven by the DI pipes, right? So we do not have, right? So when the DI pipes comes into play sometimes in March, that is where we will be capitalizing upon it. But having said that, in terms of projects, both both Gujarat government, the Madhya Pradesh government, and the governments in the south, I think so they have huge projects which they have already awarded. I think so the projects got stalled because they had a they have to divert the funds for fighting up the pandemic. Now with that situation coming back in control, we have seen that they have started flowing back the monies into these water irrigation projects and water distribution projects. So we are clearly seeing that. And I'm sure that will gain momentum over the next few weeks, months. And that's where we would see our capacity utilization for spiral mills across these three locations, which is Gujarat, Madhya Pradesh, as well as in South, should go up.
Sir, it is more about the river linking project part, which I was referring. How are things on ground with respect to the river linking part. I think so there the, our these huge diameter pipes would be in demand. So your understanding on how the concept for the river linking is going ahead and what kind of incremental demand that aspect is going to play out going forward.
So river interlinking project is a huge project. I think so it was very ambitious at the point in time, and then it was calibrated around because you know the states did not see any utility in interlinking river projects. What has now happened is that the central government has pitched in and they are seeing the utility and the benefits accruing out of that. So like Nal Se Jal mission, where the central government's primary funder, even for the interlinking projects, now the central government has announced that they would be the primary funder to that particular project. A large portion of that funding will come from, I think so if my guess is right, it's almost 70% of funding will be done by the central government. So now these projects will gain traction. And the good part is that, you know, all the projects what has currently been conceived or envisaged for interlinking are all in Madhya Pradesh. And that is where we have a geographical presence. And the moment these projects will come up on the table, we would be one of the largest beneficiaries and we would be servicing in those interlinking projects.
And lastly, sir, on the U.S. part, what are the green shoots on the ground, sir, if you could explain going forward that may translate into order booking and then the utilization levels going up going forward. You did spoke about some small orders as the first sign. So if you could dwell more on the same and how is this infrastructure spending bill going to in any way going to be a trigger for the pipes, laying out of pipes also. As earlier it was being contemplated that the entire pipeline has been aging and there will be a new laying out of pipes that will lead to huge demand. So are those stories still there, valid, or they were only conceptions? So if you could give some color on how the U.S. market is going to shape up and what are the factors that would contribute?
See, first and foremost, I think so there is a very clear recognition coming up on the table that the growth of the renewables is at the pace at what it is happening, it is not good enough to meet the current or the you know ever-growing needs of the industry, right? That I think so that has very clearly come out, which means, and we have seen that, so there is a fundamental shift. If you look at the what are a few fundamental things that happened in US, the gas prices have gone up to a historic high of $6 per MBTU. Typically they used to be hovering around $2.8 to $3, right? It has doubled. We have seen the sort of you know the power collapse which has happened in a couple of states because of you know non-availability of the fuel or the non-availability of the energy. I think so these two or three factors put together is clearly asking the administration back on the table. The administration is thinking back on the table that you know whatever drastic cuts they have done in terms of infrastructure spending on developing the oil and gas pipeline, it cannot be that drastic. I think so that realization has set in now very, very clearly, number one. And now they have started calibrating their policies around that. They have completely come in terms and recognized that aspect. The moment they have done that, they have started easing out investment in terms of developing this oil pipelines and the gas pipelines. So I think so this fundamental shift which has happened is now forcing or compelling the E&P companies to come back on the drawing board and start looking at the project. So just before this collapse happened, you know, there were a couple of projects back, you know, which were in very active discussions and under or about to be awarded. They were put, you know, they were all stalled and stopped. I think so we are seeing that, you know, those projects, the discussion around those projects have already started. So that is a very welcoming sign. The E&P companies have started coming up and discussing about, evacuation of the gas from the Permian Basin to the coast and all that stuff, which was not happening in the last two quarters. Now we have started seeing that discussion started happening, one. Two, you know, we have seen an increase in the drilling in the rig count. We have started seeing the number of wells being drilled are much more. we have started seeing that, you know, because of that, the interconnectivity of the wells and transportation of those oil and gas for which the small diameter pipelines are being used, the demand is going up. So I think so on the ground that traction has started, slowly it has started, it has to build upon, and I think so by the, you know, in Q3 and Q4, this momentum will build upon, and the next year will, I think so the US will be back with full bang. That's what our expectation is all about. Coming back to your question on the infrastructure spending, see, infrastructure spending in US, that the bill in US eventually got approved, do a little scale down, but it is finally there. But that is more in terms of highways, more in terms of airports, more in terms of their telecommunication networks and all that stuff at this point in time. On the water side of it, that there's not much which is being done, but I am sure the trench two probably should take care of that. So right now in the trench one, they are talking mostly of the key infrastructure projects.
Right, sir. And lastly, sir, line item number 4, there is a loss of 5 crore 33 lakh from the joint venture. So which segment is it attributable to, and the reasons for these losses?
So that is the our Saudi joint venture. So for the quarter, they are having a loss, as we said, because of the lower sales volumes.
Okay, and this is going to reverse because of the strong order booking and the execution that will happen for this second half.
That's right. We are very very strong and hopeful on that because they have more than 200,000 tons of order book. So that's optimistic.
Okay. Thank you for the answers and all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Gentlemen, once again, thank you very much for joining us today morning, taking time out of your busy schedule to attend our Q2 FY22 call. I hope we have answered most of your questions, but still, if you have any further query, you can directly reach out to us, and we would be more than pleased to answer them. And once again, thank you very much, and my sincerest and my greetings for wishing you all a very happy Diwali, and stay safe. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.